life as a lost person and did some things that God wouldn't approve of. But God has blessed mothers in particular ways, and there are things that blessings that God has given all mothers, I believe, that we'll see, and we can be thankful for those things. But most of us, I think, know moms that did their best and did a good job and went to a lot of trouble and work and hardship to be a good mother, and we ought to honor and praise those ladies for what they've done. But let's turn to Psalm 127. We'll first of all see here in Psalm 127, it's a psalm about the family, and the first blessing that we see about motherhood is that a mother is rewarded by God. She is rewarded by God, and the title of the message is Qualities of Motherhood. We're going to see some qualities that God has bestowed on motherhood. But first of all, we're going to see that she is rewarded by God. The Bible says that children are God's reward. We'll read the whole psalm, all five verses, Psalm 127:1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. And we know this is maybe a sensitive topic for some, because we can read in Scripture, and we know that this still happens, that there are ladies that desire to be mothers, and they're physically unable to be mothers. They're unable to bear children. And we don't want to be insensitive to that. We know that that sorrow exists, and maybe many of you have experienced the sorrow of miscarriage, and maybe a doctor told you at one point that you wouldn't be able to have children. That's very difficult. It brings a lot of sadness. And there's an aspect of motherhood that deals with the physical part, and it is difficult when you can't. And the Lord knows your sorrow, if that's your sorrow, if that has been your sorrow, maybe in the past, the Lord knows that. And I'm not suggesting that God ranks people and says that you are, you know, this woman is more favored because she has a child, and this woman is less favored because she's unable. That is not what is being said here. But we do also want to know just what the Scripture says, which is the fruit of the womb is his reward. Children are a blessing, and I'm contrasting that perspective with the perspective that our world often has, which is children are a burden, children are a curse, children are an obstacle to our lives, and children ought to be eliminated or prevented, and that is a very wicked perspective. We can overlook and ignore the blessing that children are because they get in the way of our plans. And so often people don't want children or want to end the lives of their unborn children, and that's wicked. It's a terrible thing. Of course, we read in Scripture about Molech, which was a false god that was worshipped by offering children in the fire and ending their life in worship to this pagan god. And God says he hates that worship of Molech. And I see some similarities to the Holocaust of abortion. Not that they are worshiping a god named Molech, but they're ending children's lives, and it's a wicked thing. Children are the reward. The fruit of the womb is the Lord's reward. And a mother who bears children has the reward of God in that form. We know that changing diapers and making meals and correcting behavior are constant and tiring tasks, but we should not forget that children are God's reward. They're worth all the work. God gives and withholds this reward according to his own wisdom. And we read about that in Scripture. Women that could not have children, and God makes that choice according to his sovereign wisdom. And he is still a good God when he makes those choices. But we should never take the mother's reward for granted. We know that motherhood is partly a physiological reality. Mothers are mothers in part because they bear children. And even though the culture tries to say that we can change those definitions and a human can be anything a human wants to be, doesn't matter what God decided for them physically, we know that that is not the case. Motherhood is partly a physiological reality, and the fruit of the womb is a reward from God. And so we should be thankful for that. Maybe some of you have had surprise babies. You didn't expect or try to have a baby, and you were given one, and maybe that might cause your stress level to go up a little bit, because how are we going to pay the bills or have the time? And yet we should not forget that the fruit of the womb is the reward of God. Secondly, a mother is gifted by God. Not all mothers have physically born children. And I'm thankful that it's possible for a lady to be a mother, even if it's not possible for her to bear children. I'm thankful for things like adoption. And maybe not in even a legal adoption, but effectively that's what happens. A woman who has not born this child raises this child and is that child's mother. I'm thankful that that is still possible, that's still the case, and it allows women to be a part of all of that, those aspects of motherhood. And regardless of whether a mother has physically born children or not, God gives emotional and mental gifts to mothers that set them apart from men and set them apart from children. Only a mother has some of these gifts. I want us to look at some of these things that God gives to women to help them be good mothers and godly mothers, mothers that are going to raise children properly and do a good job in doing that. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 1, the book of 1 Samuel there in the Old Testament. And these are things that we ought to appreciate about mothers and praise the Lord for giving these gifts to mothers. 1 Samuel chapter 1, first of all, we know that God gives the heart to be a mother. God gives to women a heart to be a mother. It comes from God. We don't have anything in ourselves to take care of. We're sinners. And we have offended a righteous and holy God with our sin. We don't have anything good to claim in ourselves. And so if there's something good in us, it is gifted by God. If there's an ability that we have to do a good job at something, it's because it came from the Lord. And that is true of this heart to be a mother. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 4, we're reading about a woman named Hannah who physically was unable to have children at this point. Verse 4, it says, "And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions." Peninnah, this man Elkanah, had two wives. One of them was Peninnah, and she had children. Verse 5, "But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb." And again, God makes these choices for his reasons. But Hannah did not have children, but she had a heart to be a mother. "And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat." So Elkanah goes up to the house of the Lord to worship, and this adversary, it appears to be Peninnah, was provoking Hannah and maybe taunting her or criticizing her for not having children. And this is unfair, because what woman can make that choice? "Yes, I'm barren and I decide to not be there." There, it's fixed. This is God's ability to do, and it's not in our power to control this. And so this was wicked that her adversary was provoking her. But let's not take the responsibility as well. Let's not act as though we're doing something wrong or that God is making a wrong choice. We should trust the Lord that he knows best, even though it's very difficult sometimes. But we see that in verse 7 it says, "Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? Maybe a rhetorical question here, because Hannah had a desire for children. She had a husband, but that didn't mean she had children. It's different, and she had a heart to be a mother. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she, Hannah, was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. She had a heart to be a mother, but more importantly, she had a heart to give everything to God. And maybe that's what God was after. Maybe she didn't have this desire before this. Maybe she said, I want a child for me. I want this because I want this. But when she came to this point, she had a heart to be a mother, and that came from the Lord. Sometimes women today, I've heard statistics that more and more women would rather have a career than have children. And that's a sad thing to me. But Hannah had a desire to have children, but she came to the point where she said, Lord, would you give me a son? And if you give me a son, I'm going to give him back to you. You can have him. I just have this desire to be a mother. And we see that she did give birth to a son, Samuel, with the book of 1 Samuel was named after him. And then when he was weaned, she gave him back to live at the temple, at the tabernacle. She did not get to raise him to adulthood. She gave him back to the Lord. And I think probably, very likely, that's what the Lord was after. But she had a heart to be a mother, and that came from the Lord. We read in Genesis chapter 30, verse 1, it says, and when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children, or else I die. She also, like Hannah, had a very deep desire to be a mother. We would call this natural affection. Turn over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, we read about something called natural affection. But it does come from the Lord because we see that it can be lost. This natural affection can be lost. God gives a woman to be a mother. He gives her a heart to be a mother. And I'm thankful for a mother's heart. Romans chapter 1, verse 28, it says, and even as that they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignancy, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. This is the result of when we push God out of our lives. We turn to these things. Verse 31, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God and that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And I think women, I've heard stories about women celebrating their abortions, which is unspeakably wicked. I think that they are without natural affection. Maybe in some cases people have been greatly deceived, but for someone to celebrate such a thing tells me that they don't have the natural affection. And how did that happen? Well, we see here God gives people over to a reprobate mind to do those things that they wish to do. And why does he give them over? Because they have pushed God out of their life, out of their knowledge. And so they don't have natural affection anymore. But naturally, normally, God gives a woman a heart to be a mother. It's normal, and we would say it's natural, but it's not because we're good, it's because God is good. I'm thankful for a mother's heart. I'm thankful for a tender and nurturing spirit that mothers have. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 3 says, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. There's this mother's care and mother's love that is unlike anything else. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that God gives that. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Mothers have a unique ability to be tender and gentle and nurturing to their children. Sometimes we don't, you know, sometimes children need tough love. Sometimes children need to be encouraged to get up and go on. And mothers can do that as well. But mothers have an ability to nurture and be gentle and to be kind and loving in a way that fathers don't. And this is a gift from the Lord. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for my own mother in that way. I'm thankful for my wife in that way, that she has and that they have. And mothers here have this gift, this ability to be tender and nurturing. This comes from the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. Paul is writing. He's not a mother, of course, but he's speaking of this tenderness and this affection, this nurturing. Verse 7 says, "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children." A nursing mother is what this is talking about. Cherisheth her children. "So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us." Sometimes mothers actually give their life in birthing children. And I'm thankful for modern medicine that makes that less common. Many mothers in the past have died in childbirth. But I think also mothers have chosen, as their children have gotten older, some sort of scenario came up where it was their child or them, and they chose to sacrifice their life in favor of sparing their children. This is the spirit, the attitude, the heart of a mother. Many mothers would not hesitate to do this. And this is what Paul is talking about in a spiritual sense. "We were willing to impart also unto you our own souls." And what is he illustrating this? How is he comparing this? What is he comparing it to? Well, a nursing mother. This tenderness, this affection. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1 says, "A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother." Why is a mother, why does she have that heaviness if she has a foolish child? Well, it's because she cares for that child. She loves that child. She's given so much of herself to that child. I've read things and heard things about childbearing and the womb and all of the physiological things that happen. And there physically, the woman imparts herself and her body to that child in the womb. And spiritually and emotionally, that's what happens during motherhood and while mothers are raising their children. Mothers sacrifice so much, and we could talk about in our culture and sinful world how fathers vacate their responsibility, and often that results in the mother having to do it alone. And I'm so thankful that mothers are willing to do that sort of thing. This tenderness and affectionate and nurturing spirit that God has given them. I'm so thankful for mothers. They are able, God equips them to impart things and invest things in their children's lives, things that are godly things. A mother might not even be saved, but she is nurturing. That's something God does. She is raising and investing and protecting and helping. Those are things that God does. God equips mothers to fulfill their role. They have all of these things because God has given it to them. We see a protective spirit discussed in Scripture. Matthew 23:37, the Lord is speaking and he's overlooking the city of Jerusalem. Jesus Christ is looking down on the city of Jerusalem. He says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." Why are we talking about chickens, Pastor? Well, hens are mothers, and human mothers can have that same protective spirit. We've probably all heard, you know, just criticize the child and you'll see the claws come out from the mother. This protectiveness. You can take me on, you can hurt me, but don't hurt my children. And a hen does that. A hen protects her chicks. And mothers protect their children. That protective spirit. God, in Christ is God. He is saying, "I would have protected you. I would have sheltered you. And I've shown this spirit in the created world." Even hens, chickens, dumb chickens do this. Chickens don't have much for brains. But even they do this sort of thing because they've been equipped that way by God. Humans, women, mothers do this as well. They've been equipped this way. We see this protectiveness in Luke chapter 2. Look over at Luke chapter 2. I'm thankful that mothers are protective. Children need to be protected. Our children need us to protect them. We need to raise them. We need to prepare them to be adults and to stand on their own two feet, to live for the Lord themselves. But while they are still developing, they need to be protected. And I'm thankful that mothers are given that spirit and that desire from the Lord. Luke chapter 2, verse 46 says, "And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him," Jesus, "sitting in the midst of the doctor in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Mary and Joseph had left Jerusalem to return home, and Jesus was not with the caravan. And after three, they realized after a day's journey that he was not there, and so they went back another day's journey, and then finally found the Lord in the temple. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers, and when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, 'Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing.'" Why were they sorrowing? Because they were concerned for his welfare and well-being. They were concerned for his safety. She had this protective spirit. And no doubt, you mothers know exactly what that means. This protectiveness. That comes from the Lord. I'm so thankful that God gives that to mothers. We also see an attentive spirit. I'm thankful for my wife being attentive to the needs of children. I think mothers have a unique ability to know what the crying infant needs. I hear my own child cry, and I say, "Well, it sounds like they're angry." And she says, "No, they're hungry." "Oh, well, this cry sounds like they're hungry." "No, it means they're sleeping." "Oh, okay. Well, now this sounds like the child is sleeping." "No, the child has a dirty diaper." "How do you know?" I don't speak infant. I'm thankful that mothers have an attentive spirit, and they're able to pick up on these things. They understand. Luke chapter 2, verse 15. We read about the birth of Christ. Luke chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, 'Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." Look at verse 51 of chapter 2. "And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart." I'm thankful that a mother is attentive to her children. I remember my own mom talking about traits that her children have and had, and how well she knew her children, but things, you know, I remember she would say to me at times, "I remember when you were real young, you would be this way, and you're still this way. I figured you would have that response to such and such a thing. I figured you would like that thing or dislike that. I know you really well." And how does a mother know her children? Because she's attentive. She's paying attention. It's easy sometimes to not pay attention, but I'm thankful that mothers have an attentive spirit. When they are attentive and they invest themselves in the child will turn out better, turn out well. Proverbs 29:15 says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." Children who do not bring their mother to shame probably had an attentive mother. I'm thankful that mothers are attentive. It takes attention to correct children. It takes attention to notice when there's an issue and then to correct it. But a child who is left to himself, there's no attention if he lives in a way that brings his mother to shame. I'm thankful that God gives mothers all of these things. He gives them a heart to be a mother, a tender and nurturing spirit, a protective spirit, an attentive spirit. These are gifts from God, and we ought to praise the Lord for them. We ought to honor mothers because of them. She is gifted by God and equipped to be the mother that God wants her to be. Thirdly, a mother is used by God. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we're getting into more and more important areas of life. It is important. It's a blessing to physiologically be a mother. But that's something we don't we can't really control in a lot of ways. There, it's more important to have these emotional things, this protective spirit, attentive spirit. These are things that you can put to practice whether you are able to bear children or not. But more important than those things is being used by God in spiritual ways. And that's what we're going to see here in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. I pray for you, Timothy, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. He's praising Timothy here. He says, I'm praying for you. I know you're serving the Lord. I look forward to seeing you. God's done a work in your life. You're serving him. This is great. And why? How did it start? He says, which dwelt first, this unfeigned faith, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Why would he mention these ladies? Well, because they had something to do with Timothy growing up and knowing the Lord and serving the Lord. These women were used by God. I'm thankful that God uses mothers. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. Paul talks about how Timothy had this direction charted in his life. 2 Timothy 3:14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. God can use mothers, and he does use mothers. You might not physically be capable of being a mother, of giving birth, but you can raise children, and you can be used by God. These are very important things, and I'm so thankful for mothers that are used by God. It's a great blessing of motherhood to be used by God to accomplish good things and even eternal things in the lives of your children. Whether you have biological children or adopted children or even raised children as though you were their mother, being used by God in your lives is a priceless blessing. God uses mothers. Proverbs 1:8 says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Son, you have been given some gifts. And he mentions the father. The fathers are important, as we know. But he says, forsake not the law of thy mother. It was a good law that you were given by your mother. Hold on to that. Keep that. God wants to use that in your life. Don't let it go. Proverbs 31:1, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. God was using this mother of King Lemuel. We don't know much about King Lemuel, but we do know that his mother taught him prophecy, the prophecy. She taught him these words, these truths in Proverbs 31. God uses mothers, and that is a great blessing. Let's rejoice in that. Let's appreciate mothers for God using them. And if you're a mother, appreciate that fact. Sometimes it can be hard to appreciate the blessings as they're happening in real time. Later we look back and we say, wow, now I see it a little bit differently. I'm thankful for what happened in years past. But if God's using you, rejoice in that. If God's using your mother, rejoice in that. Tell her that you're thankful for her. I think probably everyone here, if we took the time to think about it and took the time to speak about it, we could think and talk of things that God has accomplished in our lives using our mothers. I'm sure most of us could think of many, many things. God uses mothers to do his work. And this is true, again, even if the mother is lost. It's much better for a woman to be saved, for anyone to be saved. We're talking about mothers, of course. It's much better for a woman to be saved and to know the Bible and to follow God and to live that out in her family. But even a woman who does not know God has some qualities that are given to her from God. And I'm thankful for that. She can be a good mother in so many ways without knowing the Lord herself, because God gifts mothers with these things. God uses mothers. Be thankful for your mother. Be thankful to be a mother. God uses them. God uses mothers. And if you're a mom raising kids, submit yourself more to God to be that, to be what you ought to be. You and I, as people, we can always be more for God, and that applies to mothers as well. But I'm so thankful that God uses mothers. Fourthly, she is worthy of honor. Mothers are worthy of honor. Motherhood is created and ordained by God. Mothers are rewarded and used by God, and this makes them worthy of honor. God commands that. The fifth commandment of the Ten Commandments says in Exodus 20:12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And in other cultures, I think probably more so in the past, women have been seen as second-rate citizens, and the males have been lifted up as more respectable than females. But in this commandment, it says, honor thy father and thy mother. They are in equal status because we're all made in God's image. We're all humans. We're all made by God. We all have equal status, different roles, but equal status. And mothers are worthy of honor. And God puts this promise with this command. Ephesians 6 mentions this in verse 2, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. It's the first commandment that has a promise attached to it, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. Sometimes there's conflict between mothers and children, and maybe even adult children. There's conflict and there's strife and maybe resentment, and maybe you've experienced that. But your mother is worthy of honor. I don't have to know the history to know what God says here and say that mothers are worthy of honor, and we ought to honor mothers. In Proverbs 15:20, it says, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Well, you don't know my mother. No, but I do know that a foolish man despiseth his mother. Mothers are worthy of honor, and we ought to honor our mothers. We ought to honor mothers and be thankful for what God does. Proverbs 20:20 says, whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. God stands behind parenthood. Well, but what if those parents, God created parents, fathers and mothers, specifically mothers, God created that role, and he says, you need to respect it, you need to honor it. This is what I've done. Why do we honor mothers? Because they're perfect? No. Because they're not sinners? No, they are sinners. We honor them because God created that. Because we honor God and we obey God. Mothers are worthy of honor. And we ought to take the time today, any day, but especially a day like today, take time to honor mothers. Take time to praise them and thank them and honor them for what God has done. Proverbs 30 verse 11 says, there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. What is equal? And this verse shows us two equivalent things. You know what? Let me tell you something terrible. There is a generation that curseth their father. And we should say, that's appalling. That's terrible. Yeah, and let me tell you something else that's terrible. They don't bless their mother. Oh, well, that's not so bad. Maybe some people would respond that way. But those are equivalent things. Mothers are worthy of honor. We ought to bless mothers. Proverbs 23:22 says, hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Why would that be necessary to say? Because mothers can be despised when they're old. They're still worthy of honor. What does honor look like? Okay, you know, I understand. Let's honor mothers. What does that look like? Well, here's the definition for the word honor. The esteem due or paid to worth. High estimation. A testimony of esteem. Any expression of respect or of high estimation by words or actions. Dignity. Exalted rank or place. Distinction. Reverence. Veneration, reputation, good name. Sometimes, maybe we can think, well, I did honor my mother, you know, I told her thank you. I told her I loved her, all right? I honored her, okay? But was that high esteem? Was It's that high veneration. How much honor is too much honor? Is that possible? Well, we don't want to put someone on the level of God. That would be worship. That would be different from honor. Is it possible to honor your mother too much? Well, she's not worth that. No, I don't think it's possible. I think that we could always honor our mother more. They are worthy of that. Mothers are worthy of honor. Romans 13:7 says, "Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." Render therefore to all their dues. God says, honor them. It is due them. They deserve it. Well, you don't know that they deserve it, God said. God said they deserve it. And so we should give it. I may not know your mother, but I know that she is worthy of honor because God says she is. We don't honor sin, but your mother is worthy of honor pertaining to her motherhood. If you and I have a heart to obey God and honor our mother, we'll find something that can be truly honored. Again, we don't honor sin, but nobody is nothing but sin. There are things that can be honored. God says to honor your mother. Sometimes people refuse to honor their mother because of a hurt or a wrong that was committed. But we can still obey that fifth commandment, which says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." It's kind of like people who get upset at God, people who complain against God and curse God. Why would they do that? Well, because they're only looking at the negative, the things that they perceive that God has done wrong. Yeah, you know, God didn't do that for me, and God did this to me, and we know that God is perfect. There is no reason to accuse God of any wrongdoing. But we can have that attitude toward each other. Well, they wronged me. Yeah, they may have. But there's some areas that we can compliment as well and praise and thank them. And specifically a mother, she's gifted. She is helped. She is equipped. She is special. A mother is worthy of honor. Lastly, she is a gift from God. She receives the reward of the fruit of the womb. She is prepared and equipped to do the work that God wants her to do. She is used by God. She is worthy of honor. But she is a gift to others from God. Again, we've talked about all of these things that go into being a mother. They all come from the Lord. And so when somebody comes into your life as that package of gifts, we can receive that as being from God. And that helps us to honor and be thankful for mothers and for our mother, because she is a gift from God. Proverbs 31:28 is talking about the virtuous woman, a woman who is industrious and busy and ethical and godly and all these things, but this is the result that it has on her family. Chapter 31, verse 28. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. She is praised. She is honored. God gives good gifts. She is a gift to her family. Look over at James chapter 1, if you would. James chapter 1. God gives us gifts in other forms that we don't appreciate on the surface. Sometimes, maybe you came down with a terrible illness, and you didn't see it as a gift until later. If you are a child who is being corrected by your mother, it doesn't seem like a gift. It seems like some pain here. Or if you, maybe your mother was taken out of your life. I was visiting with a lady just a few days ago, and she told me that her mother passed away when the daughter was only a couple years old. And you might be angry at God. You know, I was robbed of that gift. Why? We can have a wrong attitude towards the gifts that God gives us sometimes. But we need to know that a mother is a gift from God, and we need to appreciate her for that reason. James 1, verse 17, it says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You and I let each other down. We fail, we make mistakes, we do our best, and we still come up short. But that should not keep us from appreciating the gifts that God gives. Every gift that is good is from the Lord. When the Lord prepares a woman to be a mother, he equips her with the qualities she will need to do a good job. And these qualities come from him. They're good qualities. They're his qualities. He uses her to accomplish his work. He honors her, and he commands her children to honor her as well. In all these ways and more, it is obvious to me that mothers are a gift from God to the human race. Without mothers, there would be no babies born. And that's a very simple and obvious thing. Without a mother's nurturing, children would be deprived and lacking in some key areas. Without a mother's involvement, children would not experience all that God seeks to do in their lives. And we know that there are always exceptions to some of these things. You know, well, my mother passed away when I was 1 year old, and I turned out okay. Well, God steps in when there are aberrations, when there are exceptions. God, because these qualities come from God, He is capable of providing those needed things from other channels. But these gifts, he's intended, generally, the normal trend is for a family to raise children, a father and a mother, and a father has a different role. He gives things to a mother to help her perform her role, to raise children according to God's plan. These things come from the Lord. A mother is a gift from God. He gives her some of his qualities so that she can be what he intends her to be. Without a mother's involvement, children would not experience all that God seeks to do for them. And mom, be faithful to teach your children the ways of God. We don't praise mothers because of fleshly and human abilities. We don't lift them up, of course, on par with God. We thank them because they are gifted by God. Fathers are commendable, but only because God gifts them and helps them. And mothers are the same. But let's use that. Moms, use that as an opportunity to be used by God in the lives of your children. Your mother is a gift from God to you. And you should thank her and honor her for that. And praise and glorify God for your mother. If your mother is alive today, maybe there are some of you that your mother has passed on, and you can't tell her thank you today. But if your mother is accessible and available, do that today. Be sure to let her know that you are thankful for the gift of God to you and in her. Honor her, praise her, thank her for what she did do, that God used her to do, the good things that she brought to your life. I'm sure there are many of them. We just need to take time to think and be thankful and praise the Lord. I'm thankful for mothers. I'm thankful for the qualities of motherhood that God gives to ladies and continues to give to them because he is good. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would help us to be thankful.